If you were to poll Seattle sports fans about who their favorite Seahawk is, or maybe even their favorite person in all of Seattle, you'd probably end up with the name Russell Wilson. And if you're a true Hawks fan, especially one who stuck with them through the lean years, then Wilson must walk on water for you, right? Well, sound effect producer and lifelong Seahawks fan Kevin Kniestad has found his Russell Wilson worship slipping over the past few seasons, and now he finds himself on the outside of this very large base of fans looking in. He shares this essay.
My earliest memory of watching the Seahawks goes back to when I was probably 3 or 4. I remember sitting in the basement with my dad, with a game on TV, and hearing the announcer saying, "There's a penalty flag down." Since I had no understanding of the game, I imagined that somewhere in the stadium there was a guy standing by a flagpole, lowering and raising a flag that said penalty on it every time a player did something bad. Once I learned to read, I would open up the sports section in the Seattle Times every week to the team roster and memorize the jersey numbers of all the players. Through the 80s, I watched Denver Broncos quarterback John Elway pick our team apart, and the 90s for the Hawks can really only be described as dismal. But I never missed a game. In February of 2006, I returned to my father's basement to watch the Seahawks in their first Super Bowl. I felt that with all the terrible games we had watched together when I was a kid, this was a moment we needed to celebrate together. The officiating in the game was terrible, as later admitted by the officiating committee, and the Seahawks lost the Super Bowl as a result of it. As a diehard, broken-hearted fan, I could have written off football then and there forever. But as the next season and the season after that and the season after that came and went, I still never missed a game. When Russell Wilson was drafted by the Seahawks in 2012, all of the, quote, experts were saying he was too short to be a professional quarterback. But like anyone who wants to prove the pundits wrong, Wilson worked really, really hard. His catchphrase became, "The separation is in the preparation."
Separation is in the preparation.
By 2013, Russell Wilson found himself the leader of an incredibly talented team, and in February of 2014, he found himself the quarterback of the Seahawks that won their first ever Super Bowl. I was all in on Russell Wilson. When the next season rolled around, the Seahawks looked every bit as good as they did the previous year and made it back to the Super Bowl for the second consecutive year. The game was close, it was exciting, and in a moment that makes every Seahawks fan curl up and start rocking back and forth in the fetal position, this happened.
Lynch in the backfield. Russell looks, throws inside. Oh my gosh!
He's intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Russell Wilson threw an interception at the goal line of what would have been back-to-back Super Bowl wins. I remember standing in a bar, shoulder to shoulder, with 100 fans, ready to lose our minds. Instead, the entire place fell immediately silent. So, yeah, I was upset, sure, but no reason to get carried away and abandon my team, Hawks fan for life, right? But it was what I started hearing in the days, weeks, and months to come that started to create separation between me and fellow Seahawks fans. Everyone I heard, friends, sports radio hosts, you name it, blamed everyone for what happened, except Russell Wilson. I would say in conversation, "But Wilson is the one who threw the ball, right?"
"Yeah, but the coaches never should have called that play."
"But he threw the ball, right?"
"Yes, but the wide receiver should have tried harder to catch the ball."
"But he threw the ball, right?"
"Yeah, but..."
"Yeah, but..."
"Yeah, but..."
"Yeah, but..."
"Yeah, but..."
"Yeah, but..."
"Yeah."
In fact, the only person who actually said that it was Russell Wilson's fault was Russell Wilson.
"No, I put the blame on me. You know, I'm the one who threw it. So, you know, it's something you learn from, something you grow from. I'm proud of our guys."
From that point on, I started to see this sort of protectiveness of Russell Wilson intensify and, at least to me, become wildly irrational. Later in 2015, Wilson was profiled in Rolling Stone magazine, where he talked about how a bottled water company that he invested in was responsible for miracle cures, including a concussion he received. "I banged my head during the Packers game in the playoffs, and the next day I was fine," says Wilson in the article. "It was the water." I'd bring this up to friends who would respond with, "Well, maybe it was the water." "Do you really think there is a magic water that cures concussions in 24 hours, I'd ask. "No, but if Russell Wilson said it worked, who's to say it didn't?" As time went on, the defensiveness of fans ramped up even further. If Russell Wilson just did his job, it was the most breathtaking thing ever to my friends, and they'd say, "See, Kevin? He's amazing." If he didn't do his job, and I was caught rolling my eyes or shaking my head, it would be, "F*** you, Kevin." There was no in-between. Show me the meaning of being lonely. Several things then started to happen. I started to make a point of everything Wilson was doing wrong because I wanted the diehard Wilson fans to look at him the same way I did, as a human being capable of messing up, and sometimes messing up pretty big time. And as a result, those diehard fans dug in their heels even deeper, insistent that he is capable of no flaw. The other thing that happened is this season, for the first time in my life, I started watching less and less of the Seahawks. If I was out watching a game, I'd often go home at halftime. If I was home watching it, I'd often take a nap in the second half. I bought a Trayvon Boykin jersey. Trayvon is the third string quarterback for the Seahawks, out of a sort of protest of Wilson. I'd even have a list of statistical failures of Wilson written down on a piece of paper in my wallet to pull out any time I needed to back up one of my criticisms. The worst part is, I hate myself for it. I have always supported my team no matter what. And to be honest, as a person, Russ is about as much of a professional football playing Boy Scout as it gets. Weekly trips to visit sick kids at Children's Hospital, tweeting out Bible verses. But even Edgar Martinez, Seattle's favorite sports darling of all time, and one hell of a nice guy, took his share of flack. And you know what? That was okay. Seattle sports fans suffered for decades and needed that star athlete to lead them to the sports promised land. I get it. But I would argue that even Moses had flaws, and so does Russell Wilson. Still, I feel like the villain. The sad thing is, when something starts spiraling out of control, becomes a pattern and a mindset, it's really hard to change. I want to change. I want to fix it. I read somewhere once that it takes 7 days for something to become a habit, and can take at least 7 days to break a habit. The Seahawks play every 7 days. Maybe that's just what I need here. Between this week's game and the next, I'll work every day to remember some of the great Russell Wilson moments and show up to the game at the end of the week and cheer him on like I once did. And maybe with each week, it'll get easier. And maybe, just maybe, one fan out there will see the change in me and be able to break their own trend and treat Wilson like someone who isn't that different from us. Imperfect, mistake-making humans. Sometimes, when things are going well, we forget to remind ourselves of a long stretch of time when they weren't. But maybe if we all think back to when we were kids, sitting in our parents' basement, watching our team getting pummeled week after week, we can embrace each other for any mixed feelings, knowing we all want the same thing in the end, to absolutely annihilate every other team in the league without any mercy whatsoever. Then we go back.